Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. As well as betting previews this week, we'll also briefly discuss a proposed European Super League, as well as look at a high-profile sacking in the Premier League. To do all of that, it's myself, Jack Reeve, joined by Dan Childs and Jack Ogilvie from The Racing Post Sport Desk and William Fenwick from our sponsors, Paddy Power. What a crazy week it's been in the footballing world. So much has changed in just the space of a few days. So I am wary that by the time that this podcast is released, things may have changed again. But Dan, I'm sure you've covered the Super League in the paper slightly. And of course, you've been across the news. The European Super League shook the footballing world. But we're almost now back to where we started. It's unlikely it will happen. The majority of the proposed teams who were in it have pulled out, and the backlash has been evident.
Yeah, and the backlash is totally understandable. I mean, it just shows how, you know, completely out of touch these owners are with the supporters of their clubs. Their arrogance, for me, knows absolutely no bounds. And I also believe that they're not, you know, considering that the millions that they've obviously made, you know, through their careers. The lack of intelligence astounds me as well, because they didn't seem to realise, you know, they must have been planning this for a long time. They didn't seem to realise they wouldn't be allowed to run this competition alongside playing in their domestic leagues. They obviously thought they could have their cake and eat it. And they've done immense damage to their brands. I'm going to call them brands because that's what they see them as. They don't see them as clubs. And they'll never be trusted while they remain in their clubs. And one last thing, I just think the timing of it, absolutely disgusting. They clearly thought in an opportunistic manner that this was the time to do it. In the middle of a pandemic, you've got no fans in the stadiums where people can turn up and voice their disapproval. So they thought this is the right time to try and force this through and reshape the whole of world football to suit our own financial gains. I think it's... They'll try and revive it again in the future, but I honestly believe they won't get it through because the opposition is just so widespread and unified.
Jack, what's been your kind of thoughts on it? And going forwards now, it's unlikely that the Super League will now go ahead. But what do you think the repercussions of all of this planning will be? As Dan mentioned there, it's unlikely the likes of Liverpool fans will forgive John Henry. It's unlikely that Arsenal fans will, you know, support their owner going forwards. This could be catastrophic for football clubs.
It's just been awful, hasn't it, really? I can't think of a better way to describe it. It was just such a tinned approach. There's just so a lack of understanding from the clubs and the club owners especially. It's almost we're going to have to separate the club owners from the clubs because it does seem to have come right from the top. And obviously the English clubs, they've all pulled out, but there does seem to be a push for this. I don't think it's going to be the end of it until it won't be in this this format which they're proposing. But I think this was a bit of a nuclear option and they were going to try and see what they could get away with. And then we'll hear about this again, maybe 6 months, a year, 18 months. My worrying thing, I'm reading this morning, Florentino Perez, the Real Madrid owner or president rather, was saying that it's unfair that we're not going to have the Super League because it means that Real Madrid can't sign either Erling Haaland or Kylian Mbappe this summer. I mean, these are clubs with massive debts. People on the street are going to struggle for tickets next season just because of everything that's going on in the global position of everything in the world. And he's saying that although I've got a load of debt, I should be able to buy someone for 200 million quid.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Will, the thing I found most, you know, bonkers about the whole thing, Dan mentioned there, it astounds me that the ignorance of some of these owners. I mean, the likes of Jurgen Klopp said he wasn't aware of these plans until the night before it was announced. I mean, surely if you're planning a breakaway league, you need your players and your manager to be on board.
Exactly, but it's always been unpopular. And they knew it was going to be unpopular. And like you said, they just tried to sneak it in when there weren't going to be any fans there. But I think they're going to actually partially succeed and sneaking it in, because UEFA have changed the format of the Champions League coming up to the 2024 season, where you're going to get two teams qualifying based on their UEFA coefficient, which is based on how well they've done historically in Europe. So that means that you could have Man United coming in sixth in the Premier League and qualifying for the Champions League off that, because they've historically done well over the past 5 years. And it's just terrible. I hope the fan backlash starts being directed to that now, and we can get it so it's just based off last season's merit, not the past five seasons.
Yeah, massively. I suppose the only positive out of all of this is it shows fans uniting can make real change. Okay, let us know what you think of the European Super League by tweeting us at Racing Post Sport. There'll be more coverage on that throughout the week, both online and in the paper. Not only that, but we have a cup final to look ahead to this weekend. It's between Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur. It's the EFL Cup final. Will, let's first of all get the show of the prices for this game.
So we have City at 2-1, we have the draw at 10-3, and we have Spurs at 9-2.
And Dan, not exactly ideal preparation for Tottenham, because of course somehow this is almost not made the back pages because of bigger news, but Jose Mourinho no longer manager of Tottenham Hotspur.
He's not, and I mean, as a Spurs supporter, I've got to say, you know, he has been a disappointment generally as the manager. The tactics overall were too negative. There were times when he tried to go with a more positive approach. Funny enough, in the last couple of games, he seemed to go back to being more negative again and playing two holding midfielders, Sissoko and Højbjerg, and then going to a back three for the game at Everton. And I think that when Spurs needed a string of wins to have any chance of getting in the top four, maybe was the final straw for Daniel Levy looking on. And he probably thought, as I do, that Spurs will have a better chance in this final without Jose, because at least they will, try and attack the game and go with a positive mindset. Having said that, I'm going to go with Manchester City. Manchester City and both teams to score will be my bet here. But just to pump the price up a little bit, City odds on obviously to win the game. I just think that they're going to have too much attacking flair to De Bruyne is going to be a miss if he misses out. There's talk that he may even have an outside chance of making it. We saw Aston Villa even without him, and then they go down to 10 men. They've still done enough there to come from behind and win the game against Aston Villa. There might have been a few, growing doubts about the title being completely wrapped up if they'd not fought back at Villa, but they've put that to bed. I think they'll go and pick up their first trophy of the season against Spurs.
And Jack, Ryan Mason will be the man in charge of Tottenham. A humongous opportunity for him.
Yeah, real opportunity. Youngest coach in the Premier League as things stand at 29. And it just seems to give them a bit more positivity. I don't think they were too impressive last night against Southampton, but they won. Do we think they would have won that game under Jose, the spirit they showed in the final few minutes? Obviously, there was a bit of luck with the penalty kick, but Son stepped up and took his chance. Ryan Mason as well suggesting that Harry Kane might be fit for the weekend. I don't know if we take that with a pinch of salt or not. He has obviously made really quick comebacks before, but then it's been to his detriment later down the line. I think I'm with Dan on this one. I'll go City win over 3.5 goals, just to add a bit of value in there. I think obviously City set back last weekend against Chelsea, but they won in similar fashion to Spurs last night. I just think there's going to have too much for a Tottenham team who, although I think they'll have a bit more belief with Ryan Mason in the dugout, I just don't think they're quite there yet.
Are you also in the Manchester City camp, Will?
Yeah, I am. As Kane sat out the game, didn't even make the bench yesterday. I don't think he'll be playing, and he's a huge miss for them. As well, like, since you don't have Kane playing, you'll have a Son on penalties again. So, like, even though I expect City to win, and they are 2-1, I think Son's a good price for first goal scorer at 7-1, as he'll be the one taking penalties if Kane isn't there.
A few nice angles for that one. Let's get into some Premier League action.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve, Dan Charles, Jack Ogilvie and Will Fenwick taking you through the action today. A Friday night fixture, Arsenal against Everton. This one on Sky Sports at 8 p.m. Will, prices and your pick.
We have Arsenal at 19-20, the draw at 12-5 and Everton at 14-5.
Dan, where's your fancy line here?
I think low goals is probably likely, and that leads me to the draw. Obviously, a low scoring game, the draw is a bigger runner, so that's what I'm going to go for. I think it's a bigger game for Everton because they still have got a slight chance of forcing their way into the top four argument, but they're not really doing enough, are they, recently to get themselves in there. No winning six for Everton. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, as has been mentioned, that doesn't sound like he's going to make it. That reduces Everton's goal threat even more. But Arsenal, they've got all their eggs really in the Europa League basket now when it comes to qualifying for the Champions League. You've got no Lacazette, no Aubameyang, they're out. Tierney, I think, offers a lot, from left back going forward. He's out as well. Odegaard's a doubt. So there's a lot of Arsenal's attacking threat taken away there. And they lacked a clinical edge, didn't they, against Fulham, where they had lots and lots of shots, only grabbed their equaliser in the last minute of injury time to get a sneak a 1-1 draw there. I think both teams are going to lack a quality in the final third, and that's why I'll go for a draw.
Okay, and Jack, as Dan mentioned there, Arsenal not going to get in the top four, so all their eggs in the Europa League basket.
Yeah, I expect plenty of changes from Mikel Arteta, as Dan mentioned as well. There's no Aubameyang, no Lacazette, a doubt over Odegaard as well. It's such a big game for them, especially with Unai Emery, of course, a bit of a rivalry with the former manager. I really fancy Everton, actually, for this game. They are very good on the road. 9 wins from 15 away, which is amazing, really, when you think about how bad they've been at Goodison. They won their first fixture 2-1 as well. I think Arsenal, their focus, as you said, Jack, and Dan as well, it's all about the Europa League for them now, and I think Everton could take them.
Liverpool-Newcastle, the next game up that we'll be previewing. This one is at 12:30 on Saturday. Will, what's the prices for this?
We have Liverpool at 2-9, the draw at 5-1, and Newcastle at 10-1.
And Dan, there must be, slight frustrations around the Liverpool camp at the moment because they were so close to seeing out that game against Leeds, and that would have given them a real fighting chance for qualification into the top four, but probably a tough ask now for them.
It is, but that disappointment, was probably eased a bit when, the night after, two nights after, Chelsea were held, weren't they, to a 0-0 draw by Brighton. So it is quite really tight up there, and there's probably two places to go for. I mean, Leicester have lost their last two games, going into their game that hasn't happened yet at home to West Brom. So there's a couple of places to go for. And I think Liverpool, we'll be quite focused now between now and the end of the season. And I think I'm going to go for Liverpool under 3.5 goals here, a shade of odds on. I just think that, I can say it's a big game for them. Newcastle, they're looking a lot safer now, aren't they, after that Fulham, having a bad run recently. And they got that win, Newcastle, 3-2 against West Ham. I think in this game, they would see anything as a bonus, a point as a massive bonus. I think Steve Bruce was set up to be up to break down as possible. Liverpool still got their front three, and they offer enough of a threat in attack. I think they'll get the points in a low scoring game.
Yeah, a small corner turn for Newcastle, Jack. Two wins on the bounce for them.
Two wins on the bounce, and I fancy a draw, actually. I think they played really well, for patches at least, against West Ham last weekend. Oh, that game was a crazy one, wasn't it? My thinking really is that Liverpool, James Milner said he's suffering from fatigue after that game at Leeds, and that doesn't bode well when a player is usually quite savvy in the media mentions something like that. Newcastle were very good as well in the 0-0 draw these two played out in December. I think Steve Russo set out to be difficult to beat, pretty much follow the blueprint from that game at St. James's Park. And Yeah, I fancy Newcastle to get something from Anfield.
Okay, the next game up's a very exciting one in terms of who's going to get into the top four. It's West Ham against Chelsea. We'll keep this one brief. Your prices and your pick.
We have West Ham at 17-5, the draw at 13-5, and Chelsea at 4-5. And I will just say, don't go getting on this Lingard hype train. Like, he's a flash in the pan. If you're going to be looking for goal scorers, I think you want to be backing Pulisic at a higher price. And he'll have a much more opportunity to get more shots. You can back him at 13-2, you got Lingard at 6-1. Lingard will be playing against the best defense in the league, and Pulisic is on fire. So I'd be much much more keen to back him.
Dan, are you struggling to split these two sides?
Yes, I am. And that leads me, you know, with the prices, to take a value punt on West Ham or draw double chance. I think Chelsea look like a team to me that need to wake up a little bit in terms of the Premier League. It's getting very tight up there in that race for, you know, top four. You know, they're only 3 points above Spurs, 3 points above Liverpool. You know, West Ham right there with them. I looked at their performance against Brighton, and they started the game sort of slowly and didn't really up the tempo at any stage in the game. In fact, Brighton in the second half grew into it and at times looked the likely winners. That would be a concern for me for Chelsea. They've also, they've had the Cup semi-final, great win over City, and then, you know, took their eye off the ball in the Premier League. But that could happen again because they've got the Tuesday's trip to Real Madrid coming up. You know, is that going to be more on their minds than this very important game at West Ham? West Ham, I know they lost at Newcastle 3-2, but they've come down from 2-0 down with 10 men to get back to 2-2 before conceding late on. So they're still showing lots and lots of spirit. David Moyes has them very well set up. They're not a flash in the pan. They're up there on merit at this stage of the season. I think they've got every chance of getting something out of this game.
Yeah, Jack, I mean, same amount of games played, same amount of points on the board. This is huge.
It's absolutely huge. I think West Ham deserve real kudos for being in this position. And I like saying that because they're my team. So, I'm going to be a bit negative towards the Hammers here. They did win this fixture 3-2 last turn to pretty much seal survival. It's a massive game, but you look at West Ham's lineup. There'll be no Dawson. He's suspended after last week's red card. No Rice. Of course, no Antonio, I don't think, either. That's the spine of their team. Essentially, I agree with Dan. I really like Chelsea's defensive setup, but going forward, they do seem a bit sluggish at times, and maybe they do concentrate on building from the back. But I just think Chelsea are just going to have too much, nick it maybe 1-2-0. I'll go for the Chelsea victory and potentially push it to Chelsea to zero. Although West Ham, like I say, deserve plenty of credit for the season.
Yeah, from one game with lots on the line to one with very little on the line. Sheffield United, Brighton is the final game on the Saturday. Will, with that being said, let's keep our predictions. It's under 10 seconds. Go.
So we have Sheffield United 4-1. We have the draw at 5-2 and Brighton at 7-10. And I think there's far too much class in the Brighton team. And Sheffield United are clearly the worst team with almost any metric you look at it right now. So yeah, I'm back in Brighton at 7-10 here.
Good. That was 12 seconds. I'll let you off, Dan.
Yeah, it's a bigger game for Brighton. They're still only 7 points from the drop zone, despite being, you know, very good. And if any of them teams, West Brom or Fulham, get going, you never know, even at this stage. It's still a big game for Brighton. They'll want survival secured as soon as possible. Be far too good for Sheffield United, who have lost the last five games, scored one goal, conceded 13. They've only scored two goals in the last 10 games. Sheffield United, Brighton, comfortable win.
Jack, are you also down on Sheffield United?
Yeah, if I could back this to be the last game of Match of the Day, I think I would. But Brighton to win either 1-2-0 or to zero, whichever you prefer. I can't see Sheffield United scoring and Brighton is too good.
Great stuff. Let's go to Sunday's games.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to part three of the football postcast. Sunday's Premier League action to get through, and it kicks off with Wolves against Burnley. Will, this looks like an interesting fixture, this one. How are you separating the two?
So we've got Wolves at 19-20 and the draw at 9-4 and Burnley at 3-1. And Wolves do look a big price there, but then you've got the fact that they're missing Neto and Neves. So I think it's a big price, but I agree it's probably fair given they're missing that them two players. And if you're looking for value, you'll be looking at the penalty angle again. Because Neves would be taking him, but instead you'll either have Willian Jose taking him because he took him at Sociedad, or if he starts, Fabio Silva, I think, might be taking him because he's taken one this season already.
Is that your little unique selling point, Will? You like a goal scorer angle, don't you?
I like a goal scorer angle because they change so much, like with tactics and who's taking penalties or set pieces and such, and it's a good one to get on if you look at it closely.
Very good, sir. Very good. Dan, interestingly, Burnley haven't lost to Wolves in the last four times they've played them. So if you like them head to head angles, that's a good one to take it.
Yeah, I mean, I normally rely more on recent, you know, what's happening in recent times. But I actually do fancy Burnley to extend that. Burnley or draw double chances, the way that I would go. Wolves look safe, after they've sort of scrambled a late 1-0 win at Fulham, didn't they? And then beat Sheffield United 1-0. But they've not had a great season. Before those wins, they were actually quite close to Burnley. Burnley are kind of where they'd expect to be, looking like they're going to survive. But they're not safe yet, are they? And they're going to have to... They'll feel that they still got to pick something up in the remaining games. They competed well at Manchester United. It was 1-1, wasn't it, going to the last 10 minutes. Ended up losing 3-1, but not a bad performance from them. I think if they play that well again, they'll get something at Wolves.
And Jack, are we confident that Burnley are safe? I mean, they're on 33 points, which puts them 6 points ahead of 18th place Fulham. I suppose... one more win and they can sit comfortably, can't they?
I think so, yeah. As well, so Fulham just keep not just fluffing the lines when they need to get that result, don't they? And it's almost a bit of a safety net for the teams above them. I think Burnley played really well for patches against Manchester United last time out. I don't think this would be a classic. Under 2.5 goals in the seven meetings before Burnley won 2-1 earlier in the season. It'll be a draw for me. I think 1-1 will be a pretty decent outcome. Wolves, they're a good team, but they lack goals and an ability to put teams away. Burnley will scrap forever. And yeah, draw for me. And I think Burnley, although a point's not quite there, I think it'll add to a successful survival total.
Yeah, absolutely. A big game coming up next. 2 o'clock on Sunday sees Leeds host Manchester United. This one on Sky Sports. Will, show the prices, please.
So we have Leeds at 14-5, the draw at 14-5, and Man United at 4-5. And I think this is going to be the game or the weekend, even more exciting than the League Cup final. But Leeds have struggled against teams with more talent than them, and United have played really well against teams that have come up onto them and given them a space to counter. And we all know Man United beats Leeds 6-2 in the reverse fixture, so I find it hard to see past Man United at 4-5 here.
Yeah, Dan, a relatively big price on Manchester United there, considering, you know, it's been a successful campaign for them.
Yeah, and I'll agree with Will. I think the way Leeds play, I love the way Leeds play, but I think it does suit Manchester United well. Manchester United with that brilliant away record, always got that pace threat on the counter attack with Rashford. I know Martial is not available at the moment, but you've got Cavani as well, who's in great form at the moment, looks as good as ever, scored in his last three games. Just think they're going to have too much quality where it matters, in the key areas of the pitch. As has been mentioned, when they matched up at Old Trafford, it was a 6-2 win for United. I think it'll be quite a bit closer this time, but I fancy United to get the job done.
Never write Leeds off, though, Jack.
Neverite leads off, 50 goals scored so far this season. It's a pretty good tally, but then you kind of go back at it and see that they've conceded 50 goals as well. They are an absolutely great team to watch. I've just written down, this will be a belter on my notes. So I think it's going to be a fabulous match. Obviously, I think the game earlier in the season was probably the game of the season. That's 6-2 with 43 shots, which is pretty magnificent. I think I'm with the rest of the camp. Manchester United over 3.5 goals, I think, could be my selection. Hoping for a bit of a contrast from the last time they met at Elland Road in the Premier League. It was 1-0 to United, and it was Roy Keane who was the goal scorer.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, let's help. Let's hope it is indeed a belter, Jack. Looks like a good one on paper, doesn't it? 7 o'clock on Sunday, Villa against West Brom. Dan, I'll come to you first on this one. It feels a little like Villa's season has just, you know, petered out with not much to show for it. They started so well. They had that famous win over Liverpool. And ever since then, they've just been a bit average.
They have, yeah. And I think that might carry on here. I actually think, well, I mean, we're talking about this game before West Brom go to Leicester. So we have to bear that in mind. But where we sit right now, I think West Brom, you know, are overpriced to win this game. And I'll take a chance on them winning it. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Burnley, you know, likely being safe, and Brighton likely being safe, and because Fulham are not winning games. Well, one team down there that are winning games are West Brom. You know, they've won 5-2 at Chelsea, won 3-0 against Southampton. Not just winning games, they're winning them, you know, in good style. And when teams, I mean, they've actually got three more points to play for, you know, going into the Leicester game than Fulham have. So they're more of a danger, potentially, to those teams above them, you know, possibly than Fulham are. And strange things can happen. You remember when Sunderland under Gus Poyet suddenly won a string of games at the end of the season, come from nowhere, stayed out. I'm not saying that'll happen to West Brom, but I've mentioned to you before that I didn't think they were dead and buried. This game they'll look at as a big opportunity. Villa still can't get Jack Grealish fit. They've dropped into the bottom half. Villa having spent the vast majority of the season in the top half, you know, trying to push towards Europe. They're the sort of team without their best player, with very little to play for. They're the ideal team, you know, to play really for West Brom at this stage of the season. Fulham went there and I thought they dominated at Villa until the last 15 minutes and then collapsed 3-1 at the end. But really, Fulham were the better team for most of that game. I think West Brom will take the game to them like Fulham did, and they might have better luck.
Jack, can West Brom fans dare to dream?
I think so, yeah. I'm with Dan. It's a Baggies win for me. And the Villa v Fulham game is my template, because Fulham are all over them, by far the better side. And then they're 1-0 up and they just seem to lose. They just lost a bit of courage. And I think West Brom are a team with a bit more courage than Fulham at the moment, the way they played over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen against Leicester. But this is a Baggies win all day for me. Villa play some lovely football, but they've got some key absentees. Matty Cash suspended after that red card against Manchester City, and they don't have that great a depth in the squad, and they just have a bit of an underwhelming feel about them at the moment. They seem to have returned to last season's default position of just being a bit unlucky and not quite getting over the line, and I think the Baggies are going to win.
Will, you can have the final say here.
Yeah, I had initially written West Brom off, and we actually laid a good whack on them at big prices to stay up. A little bit of a sweat on there. But I do think I agree with the lads. Like, they have improved a lot, and I'm starting to recognise that. And I think the 16-5 you can get on them to beat a Villa that looked very poor without Grealish is a good value.
Wasn't your money, was it, down on that?
No, unfortunately not. Wish it was, but they'll still probably go down. But like I say, stranger things have happened than them getting out of it.
There we go. Love the optimism. One game on the Monday, Leicester City against Crystal Palace. And Dan, we'll stay with you here, because it looked a few weeks ago like it was a certainty that Leicester would get into the top four. Not quite that way now.
No, and I just think psychology comes into it as well, doesn't it, Jack? Because last season they were there, weren't they, for nearly all the season, and collapsed right towards the end. And they're going to be looking at their running. Their last three games, Leicester, are Manchester United away, Chelsea away, and then Spurs at home. And bearing in mind that they haven't got much of a gap, you know, to the teams below them at the moment, they're going to be thinking, you know, we really need to increase this gap, you know, before we get to those last three games. A lot of pressure building on them, and they had the massive boost, huge boost of getting to the FA Cup final. You know, it's not a great game against Southampton, but they won that. That was a great result for them. But returning to the league, it is two defeats in a row now. Their home form hasn't been too hot, you know, through the season. They've been a lot better away than at home, Leicester. And I just think they're a bit too short here for this game against Palace. So I'm going to go Palace or draw double chance. Now, Palace, you know, they have not had a great run recently. The loss to Chelsea is as bad as it gets, to 4-1 the last game. They've lost a shot count, 23 shots to 1. But overall, their 38-point tally shows they're not a dreadful team. They've just put in a dreadful performance. Usually, they're a lot harder to beat. They held Man United to a 0-0 draw only last month. You know, maybe they can get a result at Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, that's the worry, isn't it, for Crystal Palace, Jack? 2-4-1 defeats in their last five games. Not too many goals scored either in that time. They'll have to be on their game here.
Yeah, I don't know what the regulations are at the moment, but if you could be on the beach, some of the Palace players would be on the beach, wouldn't they, at the moment? Obviously, got uncertainty over Roy Hodgson's contract. Is it 12 or 13 players who are out of contract as well? So it's a big turnover of players coming in the summer. I really thought it'd be a good season for Palace, and they've done all right, haven't they? They're sitting 13th in the table. That's probably their natural position, but they do seem to have switched off. But as Dan mentioned, the psychological factors around Leicester can't be counted out. They've also got the added distraction of that cup final. I'm going to take a leaf out of Will's book here. I'm actually going to go Iheanacho to score at any time. I just think he's on real hot form, 15 for the season as of recording. And while I can't split these teams, I do think he's the man to watch.
Will, you're going to tell me you had the same pick, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, like, apart from Lingard, like, Iheanacho, he'd be the other big story of this part of the season. Like, really, like, you know, based on the scene, like, with this run of matches, he's been, like, the darling of the analytics community for five seasons now. And everyone's just been waiting for him to, you know, finally deliver on all this potential and get this run of games. He can show, you know, really what he's worth. And he's got it now, and he's been amazing. And I think if he can back him at 11 to 10 for him to score any time against well, probably the second worst team in the league right now. Crystal Palace are that bad. So, yeah, I think that's a great shout there.
Well, it's rare we get two matching goal scorer picked. Will you allow Jack into the Iheanacho fan club?
Yeah, it's going to be a big fan club, I can tell.
There we go. Great stuff, gents. Let's move on then to any other divisions. Dan, you've been having some nice weeks in the EFL with your column in the Racing Post Sport. Let's hope that can continue this week.
Yeah, I've got a fancy in League Two, getting to the, you know, crunch stage of the season now. Forest Green, I fancy to win away to Crawley. It's one of them situations where Forest Green are in sixth place. Had a bad run. Sacked Mark Cooper. Brought in Jimmy Ball, son of World Cup winner Alan Ball. And these have had a good start. Turned around a bit. 4 points from the last two games. They're playing away to Crawley, who are in 12th position. And any hopes they had of the playoffs are probably gone after they lost 2-0 at 7th place Newport on Tuesday. The night for Crawley got even worse when their top scorer, Tom Nichols, was sent off. He suspended, so they're missing him. Max Waters was sold in January, so that's their two top scorers out of the equation. I think Forest Green, they're going to be missing Jamiel Matt, who's out for the season, their top scorer. But I think, you know, they've got lots to play for, and I think they'll win the game.
Just a quick mention, Dan, on Cambridge United, who so many have written off throughout this season. Everyone thought they'd fall, and yet they're still going strong at the top of League Two, aren't they?
Going strong, fantastic 4-2 win, late playoff chase in Lake Norrin on Tuesday. Still need a few more points because I think all of the top four teams all won, didn't they, on Tuesday night. So it's still, you know, a little bit, it's still tight up there, but I think they'll probably get over the line. I mean, Paul Mullin's obviously been incredible. I think 30 goals this season, and Wes Hoolahan, who you know well, Jack, I mean, he's been, you know, absolutely key for them, so many assists and key moments at different stages of the season.
Yeah, it was lovely to see. There was a few Cambridge fans socially distanced watching on the flats that overlook Leighton Orient's home ground. So they got to see a nice win there. Jack, where else are you having a look this weekend?
I'm League Two as well. Port Vale to beat Bradford. Bradford City seem to be getting things together, but they've lost the last three to slip to 13th. Port Vale, a point and a place below them, but they're unbeaten in eight. They look to be onto something under Darrell Clarke, who's with no disrespect to him, he's a proper League Two manager, seems to know what he's doing at that level. In contrast, it's a bit of a mess, I think, the coaching situation at Bradford now. Mark Truman and Connor Sellers in joint charge. I'm not quite sure that'll be the same case beyond the summer. And I really fancy Port Vale to get one over on the Bantams.
Lovely stuff. Will?
If I can tip up something on Thursday, today, I think I quite fancy Roma playing at home to Atalanta. They're a very big price of 14-5, and they'll have Mkhitaryan coming back, who's real key to them as well. So I quite like that price there.
Wonderful stuff. Let's get into the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Time for the naps then, the strongest selection from each of our panellists. They go into a treble, it gets enhanced on the Paddy Power website, and you can find it by heading over there and having a look. Will, let's start with you.
So we've already said about how much of an exciting game we expect Leeds versus Man United to be, and I really do fancy Man United to run away with this, even though I've got a sweet spot for Leeds and I'd love to see them beat them. I think Man United are going to trounce them again.
Dan?
League One, relegation threatened. Wimbledon are odds against drawn Obet to win away to Ipswich, who I suppose is still playoff chasing, but I think it's a massive price. Incredible turnaround from Wimbledon under Mark Robinson. Four wins in a row. I mean, they've included a 5-1 win at Accrington, a 3-0 win at home to Ipswich in a fixture that was postponed earlier in the season, 4-1 against Swindon. He's gone Robinson with a front two for those games. Ollie Palmer and Joe Piggott, who have been a massive threat. Ipswich can't really wait for the season to end. They've still got a mathematical chance of the playoffs, but Paul Cook has been unable to turn it around since replacing Paul Lambert. He's just waiting to really revamp the squad in the summer. They lost 3-0 away to Northampton. You know, it looked like they're going to be relegated on Tuesday. I think they'll lose at home to Wimbledon as well.
So that's Wimbledon draw, no bet.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. And Jack?
Brighton to win with a clean sheet at Sheffield United. United, six straight defeats, already relegated, lacking motivation. Brighton probably still need another victory. Of course, we're missing Ben White, who'll be a big miss at the back after he was sent off against Chelsea. But I still think they'll have far too much against a struggling Bladeside.
Manchester United, Wimbledon, draw no bet, and Brighton to nil. The Knapp treble for this weekend. That'll be a juicy price. So head over to the Paddy Power website for that. A massive thank you to Dan, Jack and Will for all of their insight this week. We'll be back next week for another football postcast. So remember to subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening on. And remember, if you are having a bet this weekend, please do so within your means and do it responsibly. Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.